and feed us. And my, wasn't that a good dinner again tonight or this afternoon there at 2 o'clock? Wasn't that good? Amen. I couldn't make my mind up, you know, between my wife about 10 o'clock, they was grilling those hamburgers outside out there. And my wife, she just kept saying, "Boy, those hamburgers smell good." She just kept saying, "It's right out there by the trailer, you know." I think they did put it there on purpose. It smells so good. So when lunchtime finally rolled around, I couldn't make my mind up that chili there and that hot dog, it looks good, and that hamburger, I couldn't make my mind up which one I wanted, so I got both of them. And I was sitting there eating that chili and that hot dog, and my wife said, "Brother Nichols made that." And she pointed over at that hot dog, that chili. I said, "Which one, the chili or the hot dog?" Amen. But I tell you what, it was good, and I really appreciate it. I really do. And the fellowship has been so good, hasn't it? And the preaching, I told Brother Jody, I said, "Boy, my next meeting," I, of course, I'm just kind of kidding around, you know. I said, I won't even have to pray for nothing, no messages my next meeting. I get another one from you tomorrow, and somehow I can get him to shout two nights, you know. I'll be set. I was just kidding him. But I tell you what, he has really been preaching to us, hasn't he? Had the mind of God, and I so appreciate that. And I didn't meet him until this week, but I appreciate his spirit, and I appreciate his ministry. I feel like he's had something from the Lord. Hasn't God been moving in our midst? Saving folks, touching folks, helping us here. It's been good to be here. I'm glad that we could come and just be a part of what God's doing. Well, let's just get in here tonight and let him have his way tonight. Amen. Worship with us tonight as we sing. Amen. Second Samuel tonight. Chapter 21. Lift your hands and ask God to help us tonight. Would you do that? Father, thank you so much. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I need you right now, God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this precious people that are here. Oh, God, would you help us tonight? Would you speak to us tonight? Lord, you know every heart that's in this building. You understand every life that's here tonight. God, you know right where we are. Would you move on us tonight by your Spirit and by your power? And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. I've never preached on this text before. Somebody said, "Don't ever preach a new one at camp meeting." But I guess I'm going to violate that rule tonight. This text has been on my heart today. And I don't know. Let's look at it here. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 15. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines." Look at this. "And David waxed faint." Oh, you need to pray for me tonight, saints of God. you ever feel like faint?
Yeah.
Boy, it's going to be tough tonight if you don't help me preach here. And Ishbi-Bonab, however you say that guy's name, don't name your kid that, "which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight." Now, his
spear wasn't nearly as heavy as Goliath's spear. Goliath's spear was 600 shekels of iron. I imagine a shekel of iron weighed more than a shekel of brass. Can I hear an amen? The density of iron, amen, is much greater than the density of brass. And to beat that, if we had the same increments in the measurement here, comparatively with brass and iron, Goliath's spear would still have been a heavier one. But the Scripture tells us that his was 600 shekels of iron. Amen. This is the son of Goliath, and he's got a spear, amen, whose weight is 300 shekels of brass in weight. It's not near as heavy. But the timing of this guy, the time in which he shows up on the scene, oh God, help me here. Though his weapon doesn't seem as forceful and as powerful, yet David at this particular point in his life is not nearly where he was at when he faced Goliath. And so the danger is not less. If anything, the danger is greater. Oh, I'm feeling more like preaching here tonight. You pray for me. I need God to help me here tonight. Somebody say amen here. Yeah, and he being girded with a but he's got a new sword here. Huh? He's armed with something that he's anxious to try here. Huh? Oh yeah. Thought to have slain David. And he's got his eye on one man. Oh, you know, sometimes I think it feels like hell focuses its energy on us as one person. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like all hell has focused its attention on your family, on your soul, on your husband, on your wife, on your child? Are you going to help me preach here tonight? And it seems there's a new weapon. There's a new emphasis. Amen. There's a grudge that this man is bearing. It's almost as if he's got a fierce zeal for revenge. Amen. Let all the armies of Israel do what they want to. His intent and his purpose is after one man. Kind of like that one story in the Old Testament where the enemy said, don't go after anybody except the king of Israel. Focus all your attention on him. Amen. I don't care what else you do. I don't care how many soldiers we lose. I don't care how we fare in this battle. I've got one intention. I've got one purpose. I've got one desire. I've got one goal in mind. Go after the king of Israel. I feel the Holy Ghost helping me here tonight. Hey, I feel like the devil's got his sights on somebody. I feel like somebody here tonight is in the crosshairs. And the devil wants to destroy right here tonight. I'm going to try to preach to you tonight on fainting spells. Huh? Oh, I've been there, brothers and sisters. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, now I was preaching revival in Jonesboro, Illinois. Closed out for Brother Mike Blue. And we had been going pretty hard. And I don't know what all was behind it. And I'm not saying this to incite sympathy in you or from you, but I'm just trying to make a point here tonight, if God will help me here. And preached and tried to do what I could to help and be a blessing, amen. There ain't much I can do if the Lord don't help me. But I tried to get in the presence of the Lord and get a word from God and do everything I could, amen, with God's strength and power to deliver what was on my soul. And we had some pretty good services. We closed the meeting out, amen. But one particular day, it was the last Sunday afternoon of the revival, I was in the church and I was over there walking back and forth. I typically do that when I pray. Sometimes I just get too sleepy if I kneel down. And so I was walking back and forth praying. And when I did, Brother Nichols, I started getting kind of dizzy. I started getting kind of weak in my body. everything got kind of spinny, you know, and I really still don't know necessarily what it was that was causing it. And I kind of stabled myself there and it passed. And it went on by. Well, the next day, I went somewhere with Brother Blue and driving in the truck there. I was driving my pickup truck and we had went to town and we was on our way back and out on the interstate there driving along and I felt that spell come over me again. I started getting dizzy like that. I pulled off the side of the road. Amen. Brother Blue, I'm feeling kind of faint here. I'm feeling kind of dizzy. I don't know what this is. I never have went through this before. It just happened to me just the other day since I've been here and meeting with you. I'm really not certain what it is. Would you lay your hands on me and pray for me? Amen. He evidently had a lot of faith because he didn't switch places with me. Amen. And he let me drive on back. Hallelujah. I believe I'd have prayed and said, I'll drive you back home. Amen. But I'm trying to preach to you here tonight about fainting spells. I'm going to tell you what. It's a dangerous time when we feel faint in our souls and in our minds. And in our spirit. Anybody here ever feel faint? Oh, you probably won't admit it. You know, we're too proud for that sometimes. God help me to preach tonight. Huh? We go through things and we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to own up to it. We don't want to admit our vulnerability. I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter who you are or how strong you have been, you're going to have some weak times. Oh, God, I need you to help me here. It doesn't matter how many victories you've got chalked up to the past and how many notches you've got in your belt and how many laurels you've got to rest on. Brothers and sisters, how many giants have fallen by your sling and by your sword? There'll come a time, brother and sister, amen, when a faint spell will come your way. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hey, I'm not condemning you. The strongest of the strong sometimes feel faint. The strongest of the strong sometimes feel weary. This was Israel's hero. This was Israel's great warrior. This was their giant killer. And we see him here, amen, with all of his experience, with all of his past record, as he steps out into the battle like he had so many times before, probably echoing, amen, in the back of somebody's mind. David has killed his 10,000. Probably by now he's lived up to that song. Can I hear an amen here tonight? But as he steps out on the battlefield this day, he gets weary and faint. Dangerous time, brothers and sisters. Oh God, help me to preach here tonight. You know, I don't really know. The scripture don't tell us why David got faint here. It's really kind of vague. It's kind of left to us to conclude. Of course, the most obvious thing here is that Goliath fell when he was young. But now, this guy, oh God, help me here, Ishbi-Benob, the son of Goliath, he shows up when David is old. Oh, God, help us here. You know, we need to kill as many giants as we can while we're young. We need to do as much as we can while we're young to subdue the enemies, amen, principalities and powers and strongholds in our life. Can I hear an amen? This funny name that this guy has, Ishbi-Benob, simply means a dweller in the knob. Amen. And the knob is the high place. He's a dweller in the high place. Amen. He's a picture of a demon. Come on, help me preach here tonight, that has surfaced here late in this man's life. Oh, I see a David who's got 5 smooth stones and only needs one to bring Goliath down. But now I see him here in the latter years of his life, and giants are still all around. Come on, brothers and sisters, we better subdue every enemy while we can. Huh.
You better take care of lust while you're young.
Hello? Or it'll come when you're old. Oh, God, help me here. Hello? And you might not be as valiant against it when you're old as you were when you were young. Somebody help me preach here tonight.
You better take care of covetousness
while you're young. Or it's going to show up when you're old.
When you're feeling weary. I heard an older preacher say one time, as he was counseling younger preachers, he said, if you're going to fast, you better do it while you're young. Amen. Because there'll be a day when you get older. Amen. And it'll not be as easy to fast. Can I hear an amen?
Hey, I know we're spiritual, but I also know we're physical. Somebody help me preach here tonight. And I know as we grow older, we gain knowledge in our mind that is helpful. But sometimes, amen, the strength in our bodies is helpful too. Oh God, help me here tonight. It takes more than knowledge to pray. Sometimes it takes some effort to pray. It takes some strength to pray. Hey, we better wage a good war while we can. Oh God.
Josephus said the reason David got faint wasn't necessarily because he was old. But the reason David got faint was because of how hard they were pursuing the enemy at this time. See, under David's leadership, the Philistines were almost annihilated. But here we see, towards the end of his life, there's about four rebellions. Amen. Where the Philistines find themselves a champion who's connected to that former champion that David had already vanquished, and they put all their energies behind him, and it appears as if they're going to make a comeback. Are you hearing me preach here tonight? And so no wonder David, amen, puts all of his energy into squelching this uprising. He knows how one victory, amen, in Israel's territory can rally the enemy and strengthen them. We can't allow one victory. We can't allow them to take any ground lest they fortify it. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Lest they get stronger. Lest they get some momentum and undo some of the things that God's given me the grace to do all these many years that I've been allowed to sit on the throne. And so as he goes out, I will go out to battle with you. Amen. I'm going to do everything I can to squelch this rebellion as quickly as possible. Huh? And Josephus said that it was in hot pursuit as they pursued the enemy. Oh, that's what they do many times. When the enemy would begin to run, they wouldn't just suffer the enemy to run away, but they would chase them while they had them on the run and do everything they could to destroy them. Sometimes, amen, from the setting of the sun until the rising of the next day, they'd do everything they could to gain ground while the enemy was on the run. And very possibly, that's what's going on here. In the heat of the battle, amen, David begins to wax faint and wax weary, and all of a sudden in the heat of the battle, that's when the enemy focuses all of its attention so hard and so fierce. God help us here. Hey, just because you're leading the charge does not mean that the devil, amen, has exempted you. But in fact, if you're leading the charge, then he's leading his aim on you. He wants you before anybody else.
Andrew Jackson was in the middle of a conflict and he needed some reinforcements. And he called for some Marines. Well, they couldn't dispatch him, a band of Marines. And so they sent the next best thing. They sent him a regiment, I think it was 50 Kentucky Long Riflemen. Sent them down there. What am I going to do with these guys? Amen. And so he puts them out into the forefront of the battle.
And when he put them out into the forefront of the battle, all of a sudden, the enemy makes a charge. And when the enemy makes a charge, these Kentucky long riflemen, they've got their long rifles loaded, and boom, they fire their rifles, and all of a sudden, the enemy's in disarray, and they're in chaos and confusion. They retreat momentarily, they're back there for a little while, and then they rally again and make another charge. By this time, these Kentucky long riflemen have reloaded. And so when the enemy charges again, they fire from the front lines again. The same thing happens. Chaos in the enemy lines. Amen. And they retreat momentarily, regroup and regather, and finally that goes on until they're not charging anymore. When the battle's over, they go and examine the battlefield, and they find out what happened. Every time the enemy would lead a charge, those Kentucky long riflemen would shoot nothing but the officers, nothing but the leaders. Amen. And the amazing thing about it, every one of them were headshots. God, help me here. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. The devil's got a sharp shooter, and he's got his sights fixed on you, and he's waiting for you, amen, to fall into a weak and a weary and a fainting moment, and he's going to do everything he can to take you out of the battle. Oh, God, help us here tonight. I wish I could preach to you tonight like I need to. We're living in those days. When the Apostle Paul said, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Heady. High-minded, despisers of those that are good. Come on here. We're not just in the last days because of what's ticking on the clock. We're in the last days because of what's ticking all around us. And not just what's going on in the world, what's going on in the church today. Oh, God, help me here. David's just been through a rebellion with Absalom. He's just been through some terrible things. Can I hear an amen? He's went through some awful ordeals in his home. And now in the midst of it all, the enemy's rising up. It's enough to make a strong man faint. Can I hear an amen? The Bible talks about a time when men's hearts shall fail them for fear. Oh, no wonder heart attacks are on the rise. And nervous breakdowns, amen, are on the rise. No wonder, amen, preachers have got high blood pressure. Somebody help me preach here tonight. Hey, I'm talking about fainting spells. Hey, it's a tactic of the devil to try to wear us out and take us down. Let him that think he standeth. Sometimes we get a name, you know, and we really don't deserve the name we get. Come on here. Oh, God. An old preacher told a young preacher one time, he said, son, you go out there and preach. He said, there's some folks that they're going to tell you, you ain't worth nothing. Huh? And there's some folks going to tell you, you're the best thing that's ever hit the pulpit. Hello? You know what his advice was to that young preacher? He said, don't believe either one of them. Oh, God, help me to preach a little while here tonight. I don't know why I'm preaching this way. It's all I got, brother. Come back tomorrow morning, you can hear some real preaching. Amen. But I'm going to try to say something to you here tonight. Amen. Huh? We get a name. And if we ain't careful, we'll get to believe in ourselves. Oh, God, help me. It's like It's like that one woman I heard about, you know. This woman in the church was sick, and they gathered around and prayed for her, and God healed her. And this woman, you know, she was kind of spiritual, or at least she deemed herself that way, and probably some others did too. And probably there was a time when she was. Are you hearing me preach here? But she got to looking at the wrong things, and she just knew she was the one that prayed the prayer of faith. And she wanted the pastor to give her the credit for praying the prayer. He didn't give her the credit, amen. He had everybody gather around, and she got offended, amen, and left the church because he wouldn't give her the credit for being the one that prayed the prayer of faith, amen. I doubt she was the one that did it with a spirit like that. Can I hear an amen? Hey, but if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on our accomplishment, and we'll see the Goliaths that have fallen in our past, and we'll see the notches in our belt, and we'll see the marks on our sword. And if we're not careful, lying spirit will sneak up to us and begin to tell us, boy, look at what you did out here. Boy, look at how you won this victory. Boy, look at how you won this battle. And if we're not careful, we'll get lax like David did. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And when we're not looking, and when we're not ready, and when we have a fainting spell, He's got something for us, amen, that we can't handle.
I don't even know if he still had that shepherd's bag. I don't know what he had done with that sling. Hello? I don't know if Goliath's sword was around anywhere or not. But I think if it was, it would have just done more to incite the revenge in Ishbi-Bonab, whose father once owned that sword. It wasn't the sword anyways. It wasn't the sling anyways. It wasn't his cunningness to select the smoothness of the stones and his timing at the release. It wasn't his courage. Can I hear an amen? But it was what came on him in the previous chapter. It was that Spirit of God that came on him when Samuel poured that horn of oil on him. That's where the victory came from. That's where the battle was fought and won, through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to tell you tonight, you can think what you want to think. I'm just going to tell you tonight, I have fainting spells. Where I feel like there's a new enemy with a new sword and an old score, and my strength just ain't where it needs to be. Oh God. Oh God, help me here tonight. You know what I need when I'm faint? You know what I need when I'm faint? I need a Brother Jody Silvers to get up at 11:30 service and have a word from God and step into this pulpit, hallelujah, with a word from God. Pardon me here tonight. I don't want you to think I'm selfish, but I'm just going to tell you like it is. Many times when I'm in a service like we was today, and even before I approach a service like today, yeah, I'm trying to pray that God will speak to you, but I'm just going to be real open with you here. Most of the time I'm saying, oh God, speak to me. Oh God, I need a word from you. Yeah, Lord, I've seen some giants fall. Yeah, Lord, I've seen some victories, but God, I've got to have a word. shepherd. I'm not just a shepherd. In your presence, I'm a sheep. I'm not just a preacher, but in your presence, amen, I'm a listener. Oh God, I need something from you.
I believe the devil's plan is to destroy the wholeness church. He knows he can't destroy it on his own. You know what I believe his plan is? I believe his plan is to get the wholeness church to destroy itself. He wants to get preachers so mad at a congregation that when they step in a pulpit, all they've got is a score to settle. All they've got is a bone to pick. All they've got is an issue to choose. I feel God here tonight. I sure didn't have any of this premeditated. I sat back here wondering what in the world I was going to preach tonight. I had a text and I had it on my heart heavy. Amen. But I'm feeling some inspiration right here tonight. Can I hear an amen? He wants to get congregations so mad at the preacher that they're scheming, talking. Oh, God, help me here tonight. And if he is a man of God and is laid on his face and stands up before the congregation with a word from God, they've done so much to undermine somebody else's confidence in him. Amen. It's not that he doesn't have the word and isn't reaching out to get a hold of him, but somebody else has already cut the lifeline. I believe the devil's plan for the wholeness church is for them to bite and devour one another. I'm going to tell you what the body supposed to do. The body is supposed to edify itself in love. My right hand don't fight my left hand. My right foot don't fight my left foot. My body works together. My eyes work together. My ears work together. It's about time that the church of God realize that we're a body and we're in this thing together. I know a man right now. I've just committed him into the hands of God.
Oh, I gotta be careful here.
I've seen people get so disgruntled that they begin to tear down everybody in the church that God has placed there to help them. And I get worried about folks like that. Because when they do need help, I get worried that they've burnt every bridge. Oh, God. Oh, God. You listen to me, Shable Church of God. I need you! Oh, God, help me here. I need you to help me preach like you are right now. God, oh God. Oh, Victor Plymire, missionary to Tibet, went over there in those mountains, and for years he many times he would load yaks up with tracks and would take a trip up into some of the highest mountains in the world. Amen. And he would go into those black
tents of those Bedouins and those Tibetans over there and distribute gospel literature. Anytime he could, he would get into one of those monasteries over there of those Buddhist priests, and he would give them gospels and gospel tracts, and he was able to win some folks to the Lord. Sometimes in his labors for the Lord, he would go so far into the interior of Tibet that they would literally lose contact of him. And on more than one occasion, they literally had given him up for dead. And then all of a sudden, he would come back in contact off of one of his journeys. On one particular occasion, he was deep into the interior of Tibet, and they had lost contact of him, and somehow a rumor got going that he had died, and it began to spread, and it got up to a little lady up in Detroit, Michigan, amen, who was a faithful supporter and prayer warrior for that missionary Victor Plymeyer, and she heard that he was dead, and oh, as soon as she heard it, her heart was grief-stricken and burdened, and she said, oh, who will take the gospel to the people of Tibet? And she began to travail. And in the midst of her travail, she was praying and you know, feeling such agony over this situation, those people over there, and thinking about Victor Plymeyer that had already gone on. And she began to pray. The Spirit of God came on her. And she began to pray, oh, his feet, his feet. Oh, his poor feet. His poor feet. She said, well, you can imagine my consternation. I was praying for the feet of a dead man. But faithful to the Spirit of God, she kept praying, oh, his feet, his feet, his feet. She got a little comfort when she went to church in the next service and found one of the elders of the church had a similar experience. But still, they didn't know what was going on. About a year or so later, they found out that Brother Plymeyer was actually alive. She wrote to him and made contact with him, and he told her the other side of the story. He was on his horse and was trying to ford a river and miscalculated the depth of the river. And as he began to ford that river, his horse plunged deeper than he thought it would, and it soaked his feet in that bitter, cold territory over there. He got off on the other side and proceeded to walk to keep his circulation going, trying to save his feet from freezing. But it was to no avail. Finally, some Tibetans found him, passed out. They drug him into one of those black tents and drug him up by a fire and tried to warm his feet. But there was no way their fire was going to warm his feet. They were already black. Amen. They were already frozen. Amen. And blood poison was going to set in and he was going to die. Are you hearing me preach? But all of a sudden, something miraculous happened. Amen. New skin began to develop under that broken and blackened skin. Hallelujah. You know what it was? It was a woman on the other side of the world praying, oh, his feet. Oh, his feet. Oh, his feet. You can call him a mighty warrior if you want to, but she's just as much a warrior as he is. Somebody help me here. Hey! We need somebody to pray for these feet. We need somebody to pray for these feet. Ah, somebody pray for these feet that carry the gospel. Here's David. He's waxing faint. Every strike of that new sword is driving him back. And the old warrior is about to go the way of many before him. Ooh, and Abishai comes out fresh, new, filled. Oh, I'm telling you, church, there's going to be some services that you're going to pray through. Hello? You're coming looking to the preacher for some help. But I'm just going to tell you tonight, there's some times when the preacher comes looking for some help. He probably ain't going to tell you. You may not even be able to tell it unless you really know Him. Oh, God, help me to preach here tonight. Stand with me tonight all across this building. Oh, God. I looked up. Oh. Come on, saints. This altar's open tonight. Oh, God. If you're feeling faint and you want prayer, step on up here tonight. Or if you feel like going and praying for somebody, you obey the Holy Ghost tonight. Hey, God wants to help somebody in this building here tonight. Oh, come on. Let's get in here and let's let the Holy Ghost help us. That's who Abishai represents. He represents the Holy Ghost. His name means a present from the Father. Ah! God's got a gift for you tonight. God's got a present for you tonight. God's got a succorer for you tonight. He'll strengthen you in your weakness.